Okay? So let's bless it. Let's ask the Lord to bless it and use it. As we pray at the table for the nourishment of our body. For the nourishment of our body. How many's ever prayed that prayer before? Bless this food, Lord, for the nourishment of our body. You may have prayed that before. Okay, I've heard you. So you don't raise your hand, but I've heard you. We've all prayed that. But today, we're receiving the bread. Heaven's bread. Heaven's bread. The Word of God. And it's such a privilege this morning, so let's ask the Lord to bless it.
Father, we ask you right now, Lord, as we ask you these things in Jesus Christ's name, Lord, as we sit before you, Lord, before this feast of you filling our souls, Lord, with your word, Lord, and we just ask that if we don't understand, Lord, that your blood filling every gap, Lord, every crease of our body, Lord, and our mind and our spirit, Lord, we ask for your mercy to flow over this place, Lord, your spirit, your Holy Spirit to come down and just take over this place, Lord. Open the ears and the hearts, Lord, and the eyes, Lord, that they'll all be focused on you, God, right now, Lord, and this your bread is so nourishing for our souls, Lord, and we just thank you for it, Lord. We couldn't ask for a better God. There is no other God, only you, Lord. We put all our faith in you right now, Lord, that you're going to make us walk, lead our path to the kingdom, Lord, today, Lord, and we ask for lives to be changed and hearts to be rearranged, Lord, and we just thank you for your precious word. In your son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Thank the Lord for his word this morning. Amen. Listen, what I'm doing right now is my antenna's up. And you got to have your spiritual antenna up. How many of you got to have your spiritual antenna up? A lot of the ministry, part of the ministry that I was involved in for many years, I flew by the seat of my britches. And there were times that I didn't have my spiritual antenna up. God taught me a lot of things in that. But it's important to keep your antenna up, that we want God's will to be done here. Listen, you've been coming here for a while. There's one thing for sure, and you'll find out about this ministry if you keep coming, that this is a spirit-driven ministry. Now, I know that some of you say, well, it's 5 to 12. Pastor, most churches are leaving right now. That's right. If that's our goal, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm a little bit old-fashioned in the fact that really, I don't believe it's our shot to call and tell the Holy Spirit when he can show up and when he can leave. So it's about our convenience, right? So, you know, to me, that's like, that's a grieving of the Holy Spirit. Now, but also, I believe that you can't grieve him, that you just, the Spirit has ceased to do what he's doing, and we can continue on in the flesh. And that doesn't do any good either. So this morning, I think the Holy Spirit is going to do what he's going to do, and he's already been doing that. I'd like to share this letter here from an inmate. And this inmate is at Duffield Regional. Is it okay, Vicky, if I share that? And this is Vicky's other half. Okay? He'll be with us in about 40 days. And so I believe that this family, and they've come a long way. But Rick and Brother Jack and I went and had prayer with him the other night at Duffield Regional when we were doing jail ministry there. And we asked to speak to him, and he brought out, he reads this letter, and he says, I want you to read this to the church, Pastor R. I never talked to him. I was there at court with him, but I never did get to speak to him. So he wrote this letter. He said, Pastor R in the congregation of Lost Creek Church, I would like to start by writing you all and letting you know how much I appreciate how much you have done for Vicky and myself. Even though you haven't met me, we know each other because we have the same Father in heaven. I appreciate all your prayers and support, especially for my wife and my bestest, he said, my bestest friend and son and soulmate in this whole world. I don't think or I know if it wasn't for God and the congregation of Lost Creek, my lady and I may have not made it this far. I also want to show a little more attention or for Pastor R for really helping Vicky, the guidance and the support in her time of being overwhelmed with my situation and her wreck also. I was really impressed to see how, you see, these glasses have left me. Thank you for all your support. Thank you again. I love you for all the good prayers and support, and really do feel blessed to have you all in our lives. I also want to thank Doug and Tammy Bates for all that they have done for my wife and all the support and they have given to Vicky. You are the best, and I am a better man knowing that you all and the world is also. Thanks. I can't wait to meet you all very soon. Love you all, Johnny Kent. Henry, there he is. He moved on. Thank you for doing that. This family gave me a towel. It says pastor on it. John 3:16. I never asked that, but that's one of the most honored blessings I've ever received in all the years down through the years of pastoring. Somebody thought enough, the pastor, to get something. Because I do have a tendency sometimes when I get wound up, I do have a tendency sometimes to get a little wet. And I'm thankful for that. That's just who I am. But, you know, I'm glad that somebody sees that and know that that little handkerchief I carry is not big enough. So they got almost a bath-sized towel to be a blessing to us. And you know what? Every Sunday he brings it, and every Sunday he takes it home and washes it. That's incredible. That's incredible. I'm telling you, I thank the Lord for you all. Reminds me of Camp 18. Every time we go through the doors, Rick, where Rick went, every time we go through the doors, those guys get a coffee cup, fill it full of ice, and they get water, and they set it down for us when we come in. And Jesus said, if anybody does that in my name, that reward will not go unseen. God blesses that. Amen. How many knows that God blesses the actions of your heart? He really does. We have a visiting sister today from Tampa, Florida, and we want to also say how much we're thankful for her visiting all the way from Tampa, Florida. And she knows Jack Church. So wherever Jack Church is, Regan, you got to tell him his guests came and he didn't make it. Okay? Okay, all right. Well, anyway, we're thankful for her this morning. How many has the Word of God with you? Because I don't want you to just, I want you to just share. And I've got something, and Heath may just come and close out here, and this may not go this may go other than just reading it. I'm not sure about that. But I want you to turn to the book of Kings. 2 Kings, in fact. 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. And, you know, I don't know if people say that or not, but, you know, I know that sometimes people wonder, well, you know, I'm a New Testament. I do a lot of preaching and ministering in the New Testament. But everything that we read in the Scripture, everything especially in the Old Testament, is really pointing to the New Testament. It's not, you know, everything is a foreshadowing of Christ and of grace and God's goodness. So, you know, there are people who don't believe in teaching and preaching out of the Old Testament, which really is very sad, because it's a powerful, powerful book. And it's important to us. It's all important to us. Amen? So, if you have your Bible, 2 Kings chapter 7. And we're going to look at two verses, okay? And if you want to stand, and it's not to honor me, I know there. If you can't stand, that's fine. The people maybe can't stand, but that's okay. If you can stand for the reading of God's Word, I want you to read it with me, okay? 2 Kings chapter 7. There's a very powerful story here, okay? Verses 3 and 4. Now there were four leprous men. Everybody say four men. And they were at the entrance of a gate. They were laying at the gate. They were sitting at the gate. These four leprous men. Well, you already know that they have a problem, don't you? Don't you already see what one problem is? They were all what? They were all what? Lepers. Now, we read these stories in the Bible and we say, well, so what? You know, if people who have leprosy, usually it's terminal illness. They don't recover from leprosy, especially in biblical days. And I'm not a medical doctor, and I don't know. There's a lot of things about leprosy, but I know that it's a slow, painful death, and people usually don't recover from leprosy. And there were four leprous men at the entrance of this gate, and they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? What are we doing sitting here and waiting till we die? So the Holy Spirit word to you this morning, wherever you may be positioned in life, wherever you may be in your walk of life, you may be involved in some sin, you may be involved in some addiction, or you may be struggling with some area of your life. Well, God made a way, and you don't have to stay where you are. But you have got to be desperate enough to know that I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay here. There's something better on the other side. How many knows there's something better on the other side? Amen? Well, there's a bunch of you don't know that. There is something better on the other side. I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has it entered the hearts of man, the thing that God has prepared for those that love and serve Him. It's not just talking about heaven, which it is, it could be, but it's talking about the blessing that lies in front of you. And I'm thankful this morning. You've got to be determined in your mind, in your heart. I'm not staying here where I am. I'm not staying here where I am. I'm not staying here where I am. There's something better that God wants to do in my life. My life is better than that. My life consists of more than that. I don't have to die in this addiction. I don't have to die in this struggle. I don't have to die in this pain. I don't have to die where I am. I'm not staying here. I'm not staying here because there's something better out there. Amen. 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 I'll amen myself. Okay. So the Bible says we're sitting here and we're waiting here till we die. Verse 4, this is the last verse. You may be seated after this verse. If we say we'll enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we'll die also. Now therefore, come and let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we're only going to die because we were going to die anyway. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for his precious holy word. This morning, you know, we were talking a couple weeks ago about God delivering the children of Israel out of the land of bondage. And they, you know, they were, the Egyptians were their friend for several years until another taskmaster, another Pharaoh was raised up. And he made their lives hard. You see, it was Joseph's blessing that blessed the children of Israel and the land of Egypt, because he was in Egypt himself. But you know, after Joseph died, this other Pharaoh came to power and he made their lives hard and he put them in slavery and bondage because he was afraid. He was afraid that he would lose the children of Israel. That was most of their economic gain in that nation. It was free labor, and he did all kinds of shrines and gods and building of monuments in a city of Ramesses because at the expense of those children of Israel. And they realized after 400 years of slavery that they were in the wrong place. They realized that they were in the wrong neck of the woods. How many's ever been in the wrong neck of the woods before? Has anybody in here ever been in the wrong neck of the woods? How many knows that sin will take you further than you want to go, and it'll cause you to pay more than you want to pay? Sin is like that leprosy. It's a slow process. It gets a hold of your life and it gets in your life. Unless you know that there's a cure and realize that there's a cure for your sin. And how many knows that there is a cure for sin? Somebody tell me, well, who? What's the cure for sin? I'll tell everybody. Just tell me, because there's sin all around me. Well, let me tell you what the cure of sin is. The cure of sin is what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus died on the cross to set you free from your sin. Jesus said you don't have to die in your sins. Jesus said you don't have to die in your sins. The wages of sin is death, Romans says. We preach that a lot. We hound that a lot. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. We beat people over the head with their sin stick. The wages of sin is death. But you forget what the cure is. The cure is, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. In sin, there's death, but in Christ, there's life. Amen. You know what? We just moved right there. We moved from death to life right there in that moment. The moment our sister came and gave her life to Jesus, you know what? That very moment, she moved from death to life. Isn't that awesome? She moved from death to life. She moved from darkness to light. Amen. The moment you give me your heart, I'll be found of you, Jeremiah says. The moment you give him your heart, he'll be found with you. Listen, the moment you trust Christ, listen, friend, you accept the payment for that sin. You accept the antidote for that death. Then Jesus steps in and death steps out. Amen. Because death and Jesus can't be in the same room. How many knows that? Jesus and death can't be in the same room. So this morning, the children of Israel begin to cry out because of their taskmaster. Oh God, send us a deliverer. We don't belong here. We can't stay here anymore. We can't stay here anymore. You know what? You'll never leave your sin or your situation until you get tired of living where you're living. Amen. In other words, you'll always be where you are until you get tired of going through what you're going through. Amen. There are people, this is, I can't let go of it. I can't let go of it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I didn't say it's not easy in yourself to let go of anything. But if you know and believe that Jesus died on the cross to set you free from your sin, whatever the bondage, whatever the entrapment of your life is, then you come to the saving grace of God's Son. You believe in the work of cross, of that cross, and you accept that into your own life. Then you can be set free from that bondage and that iniquity and that sin. You don't have to die in your sins. Jesus made that way. Turn to somebody and say, I don't have to die in my sin. I may die in my physical body, but I don't have to die for my sin. I've been set free from the bondage of sin. Paul said, I've been set free from the bondage of sin. I don't have to be a slave to sin. I don't have to be led by my sin. Jesus died for my sin, set me free. And they begin to cry out to God, God, we're in this horrible place. We're in this horrible place. I prayed with a young woman. I don't know how old she was, Miss Selena, Joe, and those that went to the bridge the other day. There's a woman over there, and she was so out of her mind on drugs. I don't know. I smelled alcohol, and says there's a picture of life many times. And she was over there, and I went over to pray with her and handed the cross to several people there. When I give the cross, she just began to ramble and ramble on and tried to grab a hold of me and tried to hang on to me. She was just crying out. I don't even know if she remembers or knows what she was crying out, but she was just crying out. She was a desperate person. She was desperate. I looked in her face, the eye of desperation. I know she was acting all crazy, but it was the desperation sometimes. We got to realize it's desperation. It's being desperate is what we need. Because when you get desperate enough to leave your situation, listen, God will help you and make a way for your escape, because He already made the way on the cross. If you're desperate to run to Him this morning. And then I prayed over her. I got her still long enough to pray with her. And she just hunkered down on the ground, and I prayed with her and gave her a cross and walked away. Listen, there was a lot of hurt. I saw a lot of hurt and desperation under that bridge. I see a lot of hurt and desperation every day. I see hurt and desperation in families. I see pain and desperation written all over the countenances of people as we meet people throughout this world. But realize this, that they cried out and God sent a deliverer. There are people today crying out and God has sent a deliverer. Amen. God has sent a deliverer. When you cry out, God will send your deliverer. Amen. When you cry out, God will send your deliverer. Let me say this generally. God, we all cried out from our sin, like the children of Israel did in bondage. But God did send our deliverer. Amen. It wasn't Moses like it was the children of Israel, but it was Yeshua in the name of Jesus, the person who came to die for your sins. You cried out, and God sent His Son to set you free from your sins. Lincoln, you don't have to die in your sin. You don't have to die in your sin. You don't have to die in your sins. Think about that. You don't have to die in bondage. Sorry, Cleet, I didn't mean to step on your toes. You don't have to die in your sin. You don't have to die in your misery. You don't have to die in your pain. You don't have to die in your hurt. You don't have to die in your rejection. You don't have to die in your loneliness. You don't have to die in your struggle, because God sent His Son. Your deliverer has come. Amen. our deliverer has come. You know what the gospel is? I just heard he say it. I want to say this. What a privilege it is for me to share the gospel with my family. To be able to declare the gospel. That may not mean anything to you because it's not your family. But you'd have to know where my family's been. You'd have to know the pain that we've been in. You have to know the struggle that we've been set free from. You have to know the craziness that our lives sometimes have been about. Listen, the reason why you can't dance when I dance, because you've not been in my pain. Amen. Listen, you'll understand it more if you've been in my pain. You'll understand why I dance. Why I dance like I dance. Understand a little more why maybe you'd be more inclined to dance with me, because we've all here that's been saved, been set free from something. I like what Cletus says. Sometimes we don't look at those things. We look at drugs and alcohol and perversion. What the Lord set you free from?
From a bad marriage, and sent me to you all so I can.
Yes. And what about your spirit you said you struggled with throughout the years?
I struggle with forgiveness to people when they do things for me. And just, you know, and he's took that away too.
How many knows that you can be set free from all of those things and many other things? And they begin to cry out. They begin to cry out. And God sent a deliverer by Moses. God sent a deliverer. He came. And long story short, there were 10 plagues that Pharaoh wouldn't let go. The devil don't want you to let go. He don't want to let go of you. Sometimes people understand why they get saved and why the struggle begins. It's because the devil don't want you free. Did you hear me? He don't want you free. He wants you to struggle all your life with something. He wants a short leash on you. But it's time to understand that he has no more control over your life anymore, because Jesus set you free from that struggle. Jesus already died and set you free. Quit identifying your life as a person who always struggles. Today, the struggle ends. Amen. I just wish somebody would believe me today. I wish somebody would believe me today. If you want it to end, it ends today. The buck stops here. Because the buck stopped right there. And don't tell me there are some things that Jesus can set you free from and other things he can't set you free from. The truth is, he come to set us free from all of our iniquities, all of our bondages, all of our captivity. Woo! So, Pharaoh wouldn't let go, and it took the angel of death, the last plague, to come and visit the land of Egypt. God told Moses, he said, I want you to take the hyssop, and I want you to take the blood of a pure animal, and I want you to take that, and I want you to take that blood, and I want you to put it over the doorpost. And he said, my angel of death is going to pass by, and everywhere that the blood is applied, my angel will pass over by that. Now you wonder why the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, and in the wilderness they started celebrating the Passover. Because they remembered that God, the angel of death, had passed over them and delivered them from the hands of their enemy. And they left Egypt free. Amen. They left Egypt free, set free from Pharaoh. You know what those children of Israel, I bet you never thought of this. You know what those children of Israel who left Egypt left under? They had to leave their house some way, didn't they? They left right under the blood of that doorpost. They left right under the blood of that doorpost. Amen. Well, let me tell you something, friend. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Sing it together. Oh, precious. Beautiful. Woo! Give Jesus praise. You know what? You left your sin at heaven's expense. You left your sin and your struggle at heaven's expense. Nothing can wash away your sin. Nothing can free you from your sin except the blood of Jesus. And when you leave your captivity, you walk right under the doorposts of God's grace, covered with the blood of Jesus. And when you stand before a holy God, you won't stand before a God because of anything you did right, or all the commandments you kept, or all the good deeds you've done. When you stand before this holy God, you'll stand forgiven, set free, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And they left Egypt. Over 2 million Jews left Egypt. They carried the spoils of Egypt with them. And they left. And what should have been a short journey to the promised land ended up being a 40-year hike. Because they kept rebelling. And you know what? I've said this so many times, and so many people maybe don't really get this or understand this. I'm going to say this morning. It took one day for God to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. All over 2 million of them. Men, women, and children. Think about that. With the riches of Egypt with them. You think that Pharaoh was a happy man that day? I said, do you think he was a happy day? Do you think he's doing a happy dance? Woo! The more I thought about it, the more angry he became. And they hadn't got a distance out that he realized he made a bad mistake. Listen, when you broke up with the devil, and that's what you did, when you broke up with it, turn to somebody and say, I broke up with the evil fearer. You broke up with him, Brando. You broke up with him. You've been doing that. You're a heartbreaker, right? Amen. Well, there's a lot of heartbreak kids in here. There's a lot of heartbreak kids because there was a day in your life you got sick and tired of the devil's mask, and you said, listen, I'm not staying here anymore. I'm leaving my sin. I'm coming to the cross. I'm going through the blood. Hallelujah, I've been set free. And the devil is like that bad relationship broken up. He's a psycho. He's a psycho. Alan, he's a psycho. He's like that woman or man, vice versa, that you broke up with in a relationship. You knew it was over. But they said, I'm not done yet. And so Paul said, when I'm trying to do good, evil is always present. The devil wants to remind you constantly that he's around. But thank God, I want you to remind him constantly. Oh, you didn't mean that. Come on. Amen. How many knows that the devil blood, amen, and you've been washed under the blood? Quit listening to his lies. Quit listening to the devil's lies. Wow, and they left, and the devil was in hot pursuit, running after them. Armor glistening in the sun, chariot wheels loud, echoing through the desert, dust. But God had sent His Holy Spirit and placed a guard behind the children of Israel and a guard in front of them. The devil didn't want to let go. The reason why you feel like you have a hard time, I've heard actually people tell me this. I had it easier when I was in sin. I've actually had people tell me that. That's a wrong statement. You know why it's a wrong statement? Because the devil wants you to think you had it easier in sin. But the wages of sin is death. Remember, the gift of God is eternal life. But the devil wants you always remind you that he's in close proximity. And he don't want you to let you go. He wants to remind you constantly, I'm not letting you go. And you've got to remind him and take authority over him in the name of Jesus, because that authority has been given to you in Jesus' name. And no weapon fashioned against you will prosper. You got to remind him. We got to get in his face and say, no, no, not in my house. And God delivered the children of Israel on the Red Sea. You know that story, on the edge of the Red Sea. He told Moses to stretch his rod out. The authority across that sea. And the sea rolled back. And the children of Israel went through on dry ground. And he stretched his rod back, and the nostrils of God caused the waters to go back. And all their enemies drowned in the depths of the Red Sea. And Miriam, the sister of Moses, and all the daughters of Israel danced before the Lord that day, because God had delivered them from the hand of their enemies. You know what? You might say, well, that's a pretty cool story, Pastor R. It's more than a story, amen? It's the gospel. It's more than a story, because Jesus still sets us free from our sins. He still delivers you from your enemies. The Lord still is strong and mighty in battle. Amen. He is the one that goes before you. I'm about ready to get Bobby to take a lap with me here in a minute. He better be watching out, man, because I'm watching him. Man, I look at your old stories here today, what God has done in your life. It's incredible. We could have a 2-week revival meeting just on testimonies. What God has done for people in this room. Are we quiet? Yes, we're quiet. We're quiet. Oh, what does that have to do with these four leprous men, Pastor Armour, bringing it down here? Because they were in the same place that Israel was. They were in a very desperate place in their life. And they realized that they were going to die where they were. The children of Israel realized that they were going to die where they were. They were going to die where they were. Until God told Moses, tell them to stand still and look what I'm going to do this day. Look what I'm going to do this day. Some of you need to wake up and look around and see what God has already done. But I believe His greatest deliverance is yet to come, because I declare that over your generation, over your family, over your children. Amen. And God told Moses to tell him to quit complaining, Moses. They're sitting here and they've got in a hard place, and all I've done them, heard them do is bellyache, cry and complain. Why did you bring us out here, Moses? Why did you bring us out here, Moses? And when we get desperate, when we get down, out, the first thing we naturally want to do is complain. God, why am I here? Anybody ever done that before? Why am I going through this, Lord? Anybody ever done that before? Well, there's a few people have. The rest of you, I want to talk to the rest of you. I want you to tell me how you've not said that before in your life. So Moses, God told him, tell him to be quiet and go forward. Some of you tonight, what's back there in Egypt for you? You think there's something back there the devil's got better than what Jesus has got for you? Oh man, you've been deceived. The spirit of deceit has stepped in and deceived you. If you think there's anything the devil can offer you better than what God gives you, you've got a wrong thing coming. Let me tell you something. The devil is a liar. How many knows he's a liar? Shout liar! And he'll tell you, you did better back in Egypt. That's what he told the children of Israel. Least you would have died, and you wouldn't have died out here by the sword of your enemies. They were going to die in Egypt as slaves. Until they realize we're not slaves. There's something special that flows in our blood. There's something special that flows in your blood. There's something special that flows in your blood. You know what flows in your blood? It's the blood of Emmanuel. Amen. It's the blood. It's the blood of God's Son, Jesus. That blood flows through you. You have his DNA inside of you. Amen. Which makes you more than a conqueror. It makes you an overcomer through Christ who gives you the strength. Amen. And Jesus, we all have the Jesus. Whoa, I'm going to say that again. Maybe you didn't hear me. In Jesus, we all have the... You know what the Lord just told me? That some of you in this room don't know you've got the victory. That's why you're struggling. Because you don't know you've got the victory. Well, the Lord says you do. And whom he sets free, you are free. Not just free, but free. Free. You're the next guy I'm going to get to dance with me this morning, brother. The truth is, we ought to be dancing. We all need to be dancing. Instead of complaining, if you feel a mood to complain, what you need to do is get up on top of that complaint and start dancing on it. Woo! I've got the victory in Jesus' name. I've got the victory in Jesus' name. You feel some depression trying to grab a hold of you? Put that depression under your feet. Start dancing on it and say, I am free. I am free. I am free in Jesus' name. You feel anxiety swelling up inside of you? Take authority over that. That's a form of fear. We all struggle with it. Pastor R struggles with it. Let's say I deal with it. The Lord helps me deal with it. But I didn't say it was easy. But put it under your feet. In Jesus' name, take authority over it. And dance right on that place. Dance in the place you thought you'd die. 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 There was a time in this little miss's life that she said, I'm not staying here. Because for years, she struggled with clinical depression. Bouts of deepest, darkest depression. Suicidal. Hospitalization. Been hospitalized. Attempts and attempts. Crying out in her pain. Crying out in her pain. Until one day, she cried beyond that pain. And a hand of faith, a feeble hand of faith, reached and pierced the atmosphere of that darkness. And reached out to Jesus and said, Jesus, I believe you're greater than depression. I believe that you're greater than my fears. I'm not staying here anymore. You need help. You need help. Number one, God's that help. But you're going through something and you're going through darkness and you don't think you can get out of it. The Lord says you need to talk to somebody who I have brought out of it. And she'll tell you how the Lord, how me, how myself have brought her out of this. I believe that. I can't stay here. Can you put that picture up, Becky? Little rocking chair. I can't stay here. We're not going to stay here. You know, God brought us here to this place and point spiritually as a congregation. And you know what? When we stepped in this place, man, he was, whoa! Jesus. Same Jesus that we stepped into that day that brought us here is the same Jesus that's right here right now. We change our thinking. And we get what we call stinking thinking. Anybody ever had that kind of thinking before? You ever had that before, Rick? Stinking thinking? But realize we didn't arrive. This wasn't our arrival point. This is just a step on the way. Do you understand that? We're not going to settle here. We're not going to settle here. Get ready, because God's getting ready to do a move that is going to astound you. And though he would tell you, you wouldn't believe it. God is getting ready to move. He just wants some people to believe that he's getting ready to move. God's always moving. God's moving today. He's been moving. He's been moving ever since we've been here. Oh, how we are blessed. How many souls have come to know Christ? How many souls behind the walls have come to know Jesus? How many people have been set free? How many lives have been touched? How many people have been healed? Listen, God is right in our midst. In fact, he brought in the evidence today just in case somebody wouldn't believe him. Come on, Chris. He brought in the evidence today. He brought in the evidence today. Where's Larry? He brought in the evidence today. He brought Larry. Marched him down the aisle. Walked him down the aisle. Let's do that again, Larry. That was fun. I know you were saying, I ain't going to go back to that crazy place again. Yes, you are. In his life, I've heard Val talk about this. I can't stay here. I got things to do outside of this paraplegic state. I've got things that I've got to do. I've got a world to change. I got lives to share the testimony of Jesus Christ. And every arena he steps into, every venue he is a part of, testament goes back, goes back, goes back, that there is a power greater than your situation. Today, you've just got to realize that we can't stay here anymore. I know you all have had a battle, but you're here today. You're here today. How powerful is that? You're here today. Thank you, brother. You know, Hannah is not talking. Little Hattie is not talking today. Can you bring her up here real quick? We're winding this down, okay? You can just bring her in the carrier, Bree. If you want to. If Hattie could speak tonight, today, if her voice was literal where you could hear her voice today, Hattie would be staying. Listen, I appreciate this little angel, this little doll right here, the gift of God. And she's my preacher buddy. And every time I get around her, she looks up at me and gets me. That's granddad. That's yo, pastor granddad, little baby. Because she heard this old crazy eagle preaching in her womb, in her mommy's womb. Hattie's got things to do. She can't stay here. She can't stay in that place because God is going to do a great and mighty work. Amen. Because, listen, if Hattie could speak today, she'd be crying out her little body, I can't stay here. I can't stay here. I can't stay here. And when she's looking up and she's smiling in the rafters and she's smiling into the atmosphere, listen, she's not just having fun. I believe there's angels dancing with her. Amen. I believe that God's revealing the things to her that he has that you don't know about. Amen. That's why she can't stay here. We're not staying here. We're not staying in this place. We're not going to die in this place of blessing. You know what people do sometimes? They get blessed so much, they sit down in their blessing. And you know what happens? They die in that blessing. You say, wow, I didn't think that was possible. It is possible. Because when you're blessed so much, you become what you call complacent. You get satisfied where you are. You get happy where you are. You say, I don't need to move up. I don't need to get any closer. I don't need to do any more. No to all three of those. Yes, 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 you do. And if you're saying that, it's a greater sign that you do need more than anybody else. Because we can't stay here. We got a world to change. We got a world to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a gift. You know that, don't you, mommy? What a gift. What a gift. We can't stay here. Turn to somebody and say, we can't stay here. Okay, let me close. There's a lot here that God just rerouted this. These four leprous men, they had three choices. And out of those three choices, they decided to go into the camp of their enemies. Remember, they were lepers. The worst physical condition you can ever imagine someone ever having. A disease. In fact, their disease was so great that they had to sit outside the city. They had to sit outside. How many's ever felt like you were outside the grace of God? How many ever thought that you were too bad or too unlovable or too unreachable or too unmanageable or too messed up or too whatever, and nobody would give you a chance? And so you found yourself many times looking on the inside but not getting on the inside. Wow, thank God for grace. Thank God for God's love and his goodness, because the day Jesus died on that cross, what God did is he took his big hand and he tore the veil in the temple and he said, from this day forward, I'll bless you. You'll no longer be an outsider or an outcast. I've made a way for you to sit at my table always, amen, and worship at my feet. Even though they were lepers and they were dying in their situation, they said, what have we got to lose? If we stay here, we'll die. We go back into the city, there's starvation and drought and famine. I've seen so many people dying today, malnourished from the Word of God. They live in a land of so many Bibles, and they're dying, starving to death every day. You can have 20 Bibles in your home and be starving to death. Did you hear what I said? You can have every theological study. You can have every CD series. You can have everything. You can have every preacher. You can have YouTube, YTube, B-tube. I don't know how many tubes you got. Listen, you can have all that stuff. Listen, and you can die. And Amos said, God said, my people are dying from hunger from the word of God. They need the word of God. How many knows that you need the word of God? Singing's good. Woo, praise God. But let me tell you, singing won't get you through the storms of life. Singing won't get you through the hardships of life. And I've noticed that you've got to have the word of God down in your heart, down in your soul. That's what you hang on to during the times of storms and struggles. You hang on to that word, that promise. So they said, let's go. So at twilight, they left and went into the camp of their enemies. And this is what God did, and we're closing. God knew their situation as he knows ours. And God made a way. He went before them. And he sent angels before them. And he sent the sound of chariots. He sent the sound of an army rising and marching into the camp of the Syrians. And they heard that. Why, it was just angels out there messing around. And they got scared. Their enemies got scared. And guess what they did? They ran. And whatever they was hanging on to, they left it behind. They left clothes in the road. They left silver in the road. They left food laying everywhere. And so these old four leprous boys went into the camp of their enemies. They went in this camp, in this tent. Whoa. Silver, gold, food, clothing, weapons. They said, this can't be true. They got left that tent, went to another tent. Woo! Wow. We are blessed. They found just as much in that tent. And they went throughout the tents of their enemies. Guess what? They found the same thing. God had moved in and moved their enemies out and made a way. And now they were blessed beyond measure. Amen. You know what? You are blessed beyond measure. The Lord just told me to tell you that. You are blessed beyond measure. That's a lot of blessing beyond measure. Think about that. That's a lot of blessing. Cassie, you're blessed. How old are you? 14. Wow. You're the greatest 14-year-old blessed I've ever seen. And you know what you do? You dance and you're blessing. You don't hold back. I love the way you get in. Man, Cassie comes in and she says, watch out of the way. She says, I know I'm blessed today. And I'm going to let the Lord God Almighty know I'm blessed today. And I'm going to let Jesus know I'm blessed today. And she just dances and praises the Lord like she just won the lottery. Amen. They say that some woman won $758 million. What in the world, Shane, would somebody do with $758 million? Well, I could think of a few things. I do. Kel, now I could think of a few things I'd do with the $758 million. And I wouldn't be buying Porsches, and I wouldn't be buying Corvettes. And as well as I like Corvettes, I wouldn't be buying all that crazy stuff. Man, think of the things that you could do in the world with $758 million. Think of the youth camp, man, that could be raised up here for the glory of God, and retreat centers. You think of the work that could be done, the souls that could be reached with that kind of money. And she ended up with over $400 million. I don't know what she's going to do with it. But that day she won, I guarantee she was saying, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. And you would too. Some of you people's all cool and collected. Well, I got together. I'm cool. I'm the epitome of cool. And somebody told you won $758 million. Woo! Woo! You know you would. Quit acting like that. And for some of you sitting there saying, no, I wouldn't do it. Yes, you would. You go crazy. If there was nothing crazy in you, you'd make crazy. Those four men won the lottery. They won the lottery from the Syrian army. And everything that they had, it was theirs. And you know what? They sat down in that blessing and they realized after they was enjoying all that food and wine and everything, they started thinking, what are we doing? We can't sit here. We can't stay here in this blessing. You think God brought us all this way through all these hardships and battles that we fight just to land us here in some kind of a more modern looking facility with more space and said, now just sit there and die? Do you think he did? Come on, help me out. Do you think he did? So we got to start thinking like these men did. We can't stay here. You know what they did? We've been too blessed today. This is what they said. We've got to go share that blessing with somebody else. I love it. That's what the gospel will do to you. I said, that's what Jesus will do to you. He'll turn an inward blessing to an outward display of grace. Amen. And you'll find yourself, I can't help myself. I can't help myself. You're praying for people. You're talking to people. You're witnessing to people. You're helping people. You're doing whatever you can to spread the gospel to little guys as well as old guys. Because you can't contain that blessing. Today, God has ministered you on different levels of his grace and goodness. But you are blessed today in this room. If you've been set free from your sin, you may still have battles going on in your life, but you are blessed. Turn to somebody, and not real hard, but just in case they might be asleep at this point, you give them an elbow. And you say, I am blessed. I wish just somebody would get a hold of that today, because you are blessed. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. In fact, you're too blessed to be stressed. Quit looking at your stress and look at your blessed. God's blessed you. He's raised you up. He sets you in heavenly places. He's given you joy unspeakable. You've got eternal life. Amen. No matter what, you can't lose. Amen. If you stay, you're a winner. Woo. If God takes you home today, guess what? Woo, I'm a winner. Listen, Rick Bentley, Sister Betty is not a loser. She's a winner. If you only could see what she was dancing in today, there'd be no way you could control those feet. Amen. Because she's dancing in fields of grace. She's rejoicing in the Lord her Savior. Because she is blessed. She's blessed. She's blessed. And I want people in this room here today, wherever you are in your life, whatever you're sitting in, whatever you're bound in, whatever you're struggling in, I'm going to ask you to do something today. Don't stay where you are. In order to do that, you got to take a step of faith. I'm not staying here. I'm not staying here. I'm not staying here in this hurt and pain. I'm not staying here. You say, well, what can I do to change things? What can I do to change things? Listen, God already changed things. All he's waiting for you is your deliberate action of faith that will say, I'm going forward in my life today. I'm not staying here where I am. I'm going forward. Yes, I'm blessed today, and I know I'm blessed, but I'm not going to sit in this blessing. and die from apathy and complacency. No, there's more steps to go. I'm going forward today. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm going forward today because I'm not staying here where I am. I'm not going to stay here and die. I'm not going to stay here and die. I'm leaving this place and I'm going forward in my walk with the Lord. So today, every head bowed. I could come back and I could just start tapping people right now on the head and tell you who God spoke to today. Listen, I battled this today. I battled this word. I did. And can I be honest with you? In my flesh, I didn't want to do it. I wanted somebody else to do it. But I'm glad that I said I'm not staying here. And I moved forward in faith. So God is moved here today in this service in a powerful way. And today he's waiting for somebody to respond to that movement. He's waiting. He's waiting. You know, God can do what he can do, and he's done what he can do. But he's waiting on you to respond. He's not going to reach down and grab you by the hair of the head and jerk you to a place of commitment. He's not going to do it. He's not going to reach down and get inside of you and make you do a bunch of crazy things. Those are deliberate acts of faith. So if you're here today and you're sort of stuck in a place in your life and you need to go forward. Go forward in the ministry. I don't know. Maybe God's called you to something. Maybe you're here today and you're stuck in some place in life in grief or unforgiveness. And you're sitting there at the edge of the gate. You're right on the edge today. There's some of you. The Lord wants me to tell you. There's some of you right on the edge of your blessing today. And he's waiting on you to respond. He's waiting on you to respond. Trying to figure it out. You're never going to figure it out. You'll die trying to figure it out. Just respond in faith. And that's what we do. Every time God moves, we respond in faith. So today, if you're here and God has spoke to you and you need to go forward in your faith, or you're here in a place that you can't stay in but you need to go forward, you're not going to die there. You're not going to stay there. There's something better ahead for you. Slip your hand up with mine and say, Pastor R, that's me. That's me. Listen, I know God spoke to multiple people here today. Multiple people. You may not be responding right now, but I know God spoke to multiple people here in this room today. Anybody else? Slip their hand up with mine. Just keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Just keep your hand up. And he said, if you get tired, switch hands. There's somebody else here today. You need to keep going forward in your faith. How many here knows you need to keep going forward in your faith? Come on. I said, how many need? Listen, if you don't know you need to go forward, then you're in a bad place, friend. You're in a bad place. If you're here and you need to go forward in your faith, slip your hand up. You need to go forward in your life or wherever you might be. Pastor R, I'm going forward today. I'm going to believe in God. I'm going to trust in God. And wherever I am, I know that you're bigger than that. And right now, I'm taking that step toward my blessing. And I believe in you, Lord, that you're going to provide whatever I need. I know it's going to be ahead of me. It's going to be ahead of me. One, when I get to three, I want everybody here on that count of three to stand in one motion. And if you're here and you need to go forward, you're here today and you can't stay where you are, whatever that looks like, if it's stepping out in the aisle, if it's leaving your seat and coming forward, I don't know what that looks like to you, but I'm asking you to respond. I'm asking you to obey the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm asking today. I'm asking you to obey the Holy Spirit too. God's speaking. God's moving. God's speaking. God's moving. Three. Let's us all stand in one motion. I want you to say, I can't stay here. I can't stay here. I can't stay here. We can't stay here. As a church, we can't stay here. We can't stay here. Whatever that looks like in your life. Whatever that looks like in your life. There's more to do. There's more to do. There's more to do. There's more to do. Henry, there's more to do.